The scripture lesson for today comes from Genesis chapter 39. And yes, we're going to read the whole thing, but it's such a good story. I don't think you're even going to notice how long it is. This passage, of course, comes in the middle of the narrative about Joseph. And if you remember, Joseph was the youngest of his brothers, and he was his father's favorite. And this actually made his brothers quite jealous. And at one point, they seized an opportunity when they had him alone and grabbed him, took his coat off him, and was just this prized present that his dad gave him, beat him up and threw him in a well. And at first they thought they were going to kill him, but then they said, you know what? We're no fools. Let's make some money off of our brother. So they sold him into slavery into Egypt. And this is where the story picks up for today. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. When Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, Potiphar, Pharaoh's chief officer, the commander of the royal guard, and an Egyptian, purchased him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man and served in his Egyptian master's household. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made everything he did successful. Potiphar thought highly of Joseph, and Joseph became his assistant. He appointed Joseph a head of his household and put everything he had under Joseph's supervision. From the time he appointed Joseph head of his household and of everything he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptians' households because of Joseph. Now the Lord blessed everything he had, both in the household and in the field. So he handed over everything he had to Joseph and didn't pay attention to anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And sometime later, his master's wife became attracted to Joseph and said, Joseph, sleep with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, with me here, my master doesn't pay attention to anything in his household. He's put everything he has under my supervision. No one is greater than I am in his household, and he hasn't denied me anything except you, since you are his wife. How could I do this terrible thing and sin against God? Now, every single day, she tried to convince him, but he wouldn't agree to sleep with her or even be with her. One day, when Joseph arrived at the house to do his work, none of the household men were there. She grabbed his garment, saying, lie down with me. But he left his garment in her hands and ran outside. When she realized that he had left his garment in her hands and run outside, she summoned the men of her household and said to them, look, my husband brought us a Hebrew to ridicule us. He came to me to lie down with me, but I screamed. When he heard me raise my voice and scream, he left his garment with me and ran outside. She kept his garment with her then until Joseph's master came home, and she told him the same thing. The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us to ridicule me came to me, but when I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment with me and ran outside. When Joseph's master heard the thing that his wife told him, this is what your servant did to me, he was incensed. So Joseph's master took him and threw him in jail, the place where the king's prisoners were held. While he was in jail, the Lord was with Joseph and remained loyal to him. He caused the jail's commander to think highly of Joseph. And the jail's commander put all of the prisoners in the jail under Joseph's supervision. And he was the one who determined everything that happened there. And the jail's commander paid no attention to anything under Joseph's supervision. because the Lord was with him and made everything he did successful. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Holy God, as we pause and we reflect on this sacred story, and we are reminded again of this life of Joseph and how he overcame so much, may our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds be opened for what you have to say to us today, so that we might turn and be healed. Amen. Well, friends, one of the guarantees that we have in this life is that we will suffer. We go to school, somebody makes fun of our clothes, and we suffer. We do poorly on a test, especially in a subject we thought we were really good at, and we suffer. We get bullied, and we suffer. We get criticized by our bosses or coworkers or customers, and we suffer. We grow bald, and we suffer. We get older, and we suffer. A loved one gets sick, and we really suffer. We all suffer, don't we? So do something for me. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them, I have suffered. Go ahead. Find somebody. Now, for some of you, that might have been the hard part, and for others, this is going to be the hard part. I want you to turn to somebody and now tell them, I know that you have suffered. Well, good, now that we're all in this together. This is one of the truths about life with suffering, isn't it? Is that we hold almost like this ideal in our head about how life should be or could be or the way things are supposed to go. And then something happens that breaks that reality, that changes the way that we look at the world. And we suffer as we have to incorporate this new information to the way the world is, or how the world works. The story of Joseph, he suffers, perhaps more than most. Sure, as the story starts out, he's a bit of an arrogant 17-year-old, but, you know, I mean, 17-year-olds are kind of go through that phase, right? Still no reason for his brothers to throw him in a well and sell him into slavery. But still, he rises to the top position in the house. But then he gets falsely accused of trying to sleep with his master's wife, and so he gets thrown into prison, and so he suffers again. And then later he has the opportunity to interpret some dreams of the Pharaoh's closest servants. And then when they get released, he asks them to remember him, but they don't. And so he suffers some more and stays in prison. But then eventually he does. He gets out, interprets Pharaoh's dream, and becomes the top official in all of Egypt, and oversees all the food storage in the land, because he has predicted that there will be 7 years of 7 years of wonderful, bountiful harvest, and then 7 years of famine. And this famine, when it comes, it not only wipes out Egypt's food supply, but the whole surrounding region. And so Joseph becomes now the most powerful man in all the land. And those brothers, those same ones that sold him into slavery, they come down. And after he toys with them a little bit, he reveals himself to them. And he forgives them. And he has them come live with him. And what's astounding is that later in their lives, after they've lived in for Egypt some time, Jacob, their father, dies, and the brothers sort of renew their paranoia that now Joseph, with all his power, he's going to take out his revenge on us. But instead, Joseph utters this beautiful line. I mean, you should write it down, highlight it in your Bibles, put it on your wall, tattoo it on your back or something, you know? This is like probably someplace you can see it. But he says this line. He says, "You intended something bad for me, but God produced something good from it." You intended something bad for me, but God produced something good from it. This is truly a remarkable thing. Because Joseph, after enduring all of this suffering, something changed in him. It's almost like the suffering molded him so that he could utter this beautiful line. And this is one of the strange realities about all of the suffering that we go through, is that it breaks us. But in that breaking, it produces this possibility to become more than we were before, to endure more than we thought we could endure, to forgive more than we thought we could forgive, to love deeper than we thought we could love, to live in a richer way than we thought we could live. One of the great exemplary people that has demonstrated to us this principle is the great Nelson Mandela, right? Who, after spending 27 years in prison, was released and then later became president. And when he became president, he didn't just kick out all the white people, right? We'll give you a 10-minute head start. No. Instead, he worked with the opposition to create a better, peaceful, more just country. In fact, not just Nelson Mandela, but our African-American brothers and sisters can teach us a lot about how to deal with suffering for as much as they've endured. And one of the things that has arisen in their culture, things that we love so much about it, are those spirituals. You guys love spirituals? No? Are you afraid that I'm coming out here? Because spirituals have this beautiful way of making us or sort of express or lament or get out that pain, but also give us hope. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on. Help me stay. I'm tired. I am worn. I am weak. Lead me on through the night. Help me stand. I can't remember the line. Lead me on to the light. Precious Lord, take my hand and lead me home. I changed keys in there, so it was pretty bad. I'm going to need your help on this next one. There's a good one that I've learned, and I'm not sure you know it, but it helps to illustrate the point that I'm going for. Ain't nobody going to turn me around. Does anybody know? Ain't nobody going to turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. Ain't nobody going to turn me around. I'll just keep on walking and keep on talking, marching on the freedom land. Ain't nobody gonna turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. Said, ain't nobody gonna turn me around. Just to keep on walking, keep on talking, marching on the freedom land. Let me hear ya. Ain't nobody gonna turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. I said, ain't nobody gonna turn me around. I just to keep on walking, I keep on talking, marching on the freedom land. And then as they go through, they would change the words, right, to express the suffering that they were going through in the moment. You can imagine Joseph singing this song.
Ain't no jailer gonna turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. Ain't no jailer gonna turn me around, just to keep on walking, keep on talking, marching on the freedom land.
How have you suffered?
Ain't no cancer gonna turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. Ain't no cancer gonna turn me around, just to keep on walking, keep on talking, marching on a freedom land.
When we suffer, it breaks us open. But one of the good news of this passage is that God is with us and is at work to produce something good in it, no matter what it is. And so, my brothers and sisters, when we suffer, and we're going to suffer, and we will suffer again, we are called, reminded in this beautiful story, to pay attention to how the Spirit of God is at work in the world and in us. Calling us to be more than we were before. Calling us to hope. Hope that tomorrow can be better than today. So blessed are you, my brothers and sisters, when you suffer, because God is on your side. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.